You will want to take your Bible, turn to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Just got to. And I'm going to read through. This is a full chapter. First of all, Zechariah is being dealt with by a prophet. Okay? There is a prophet dealing with this man. And an angel, and I mean, the prophet Zechariah is being dealt with by an angel, and he is having these dreams. And this is the fifth of his visions in this book. It is all about a very difficult and troubling time. This man, Zerubbabel, who the message ultimately goes to, and Zechariah is living through it also, are trying to accomplish what seems to be an impossible task, the rebuilding of the temple, when they frankly are still slaves. You know, it isn't like they've totally been freed. They're still under foreign control. And it looks like, how are we ever going to accomplish it? And it was a very, very, very difficult time to live. Because even what they were trying to accomplish wasn't going to measure up to the grandeur of the place that had been torn down. So, having said this, Zechariah chapter 4, 1 through 10, I just wanted to read it. And then I'll come back and I want to make a couple applications. I'll break along the way because this is very fascinating. But frankly, some of this illustration that of the dream, no one really knows what it is. There's all sorts of opinions, but no one really understands. But the message is absolutely crystal clear. And that's the fascinating part. I've seen so many people go through a study of this particular chapter and get exasperated and say, well, I can't quite get a handle on whether it is 49 or 7 pipes coming from the basin to the lamps. And you know what? Just look at what the message is. The message is irrelevant of the detail of that. The angel chose not to respond to the question, what is this? How does this work? Okay, we'll read it. Now the angel who talked with me came back and awakened me as a man who is awakened out of his sleep. So he had had the previous visions. He had this. Now the angel comes back and wake up. And he said to me, what do you see? Okay, the angel's saying to Zechariah, listen, what do you see here? Explain what you tell me. That's a great, great tool, by the way, in trying to communicate with someone. When husband and wives, a good thing to do in your communication, especially on those tough issues, is to communicate what you're trying to say and then stop and ask them, would you just tell me what you think I said? And listen to see if it's anything close to what you were trying to say. And it's amazing how we don't always, you know, what we say and what other people hear is not correct. But the angel's asking him, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand 7 lamps, and with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. That is the way the New King James translates it. A couple of the other modern translations translate it that way. Others do not, and here's why. The Hebrew is not clear. So you can get as dogmatic as you want. The Hebrew is not clear in this area. And that's truth. Okay, so having said that, we'll go on. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left. Okay, so now what do we have here? We have this menorah, this lampstand, and it no doubt has these branches with the lights on them. We've seen it in weddings. We sometimes have menorahs lit. Jewish ceremonies always have them lit. Now there's stands, there's 7 of them, one in the center on the side. And now it's talking about this basin that is above it. This basin is what is going to feed the oil to the lamps. And then there's this debate in the trying to interpret the Hebrew properly, how many lines come off of it down to each one of the lights or to the lamp as a whole. You know, some would conclude that it's 1 to each one of the lamps, and some would conclude that it's 7 to each one of the lamps. But here's the real critical issue in that debate. I can't see how it matters. because it doesn't change the message one bit. Okay? So I'm going to go on from there. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Now, he doesn't tell what these is. Okay, these is somewhat up for grabs, but most likely it's the two olive trees. That is what would have stood out in the two. It was two. And what are these? That's the thing that wouldn't have fit very well with any of the earlier examples, the tabernacle or the earlier temple. It wouldn't have fit. What are the olive trees? Okay, so he answers it a little bit later. But then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And what's the obvious answer? And I said, "No, my Lord." And he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Okay, now who is he speaking to? No, he's not speaking to Zerubbabel right now. This is the angel speaking to the prophet Zechariah. Okay? So we have the angel speaking to the prophet and says, "This is for that man." Okay? That's what happened at this point. So then we go on. This is for Zerubbabel, and here's the message, which is fascinating when you understand what the picture was to how the message. I'm glad he clarifies this. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Now, in the Hebrew again, this word for that is translated in the New King James, capstone, is another one of those words that is really hard to get a handle on. It could be a capstone, it could be a cornerstone. It is some sort of a stone. And it changes a little of our picture in our mind what part of the construction it is. But it is one of the key stones, we know that for sure. And now it proceeds in verse 8. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it." Now that's pretty clear talk. You understand, some of the pictures are confusing, but there's nothing confusing about this statement. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands shall also finish it. Continuing in the end of verse 9, "Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things?" Again, it's the angel speaking. Do you think by any chance Zerubbabel and the others that were working on this new replacement temple were getting any slack about it doesn't match the grandeur of the old one? No, for sure. That's clearly what's going on. And frankly, it wasn't as grand. But the message is a message from God, "For who has despised the day of small things?" I will come back and I'll explain this to you, but that phrase to me is a great encouragement. It's a great encouragement to me personally. I read that, I marked it in my Bible, and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for that encouragement." I'll come back and talk about that. "For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." What seven are they talking about? Seven lights. And we'll see a little bit later in the chapter who the seven lights represent. "They are the eyes of the Lord." There it is. "For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." Again, that phrase in the Hebrew for plumb line is a little bit up for grabs, but it is looking to be, it appears to be some indication of how they were doing the construction. And it's translated into the English as the plumb line because most of us know what a plumb line is. Does everyone in here know what a plumb line is? It's a chalk line that helps you figure out what is the place we're supposed to be. And yeah, it's keeping it with a vertical. You drop it down. I should have not done this. I should have done this. Because you hold the string and the weight at the bottom and to make sure the line is vertical. Okay. And middle of 10. For these seven rejoice in to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, for they are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? That was the same question he asked earlier. What are these? I don't get it. And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that dip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? In other words, these olive trees were providing steady oil to the basin, which was keeping the lights burning. Then he answered and said, do you not know what these are? And once again he said, no, my Lord, I don't have a clue. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Who do you think might be the two anointed ones? Well, in the case of what was going on at that time, and in the overall book, the implication would be it would be Joshua and it would be Zerubbabel. They had the role of functioning in a certain capacity, and they were anointed by God. Again, if one misses it, because it doesn't really say, okay? It doesn't really say, and one has to be, I got to stand before you and be very, very careful. The truth is, you can only speculate. It doesn't answer the question. So then you have to come back and say, okay, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, furnished unto all good things. Okay, so even this passage has all of these questions, has value for you and I. What is the value? Well, I'll tell you. I think there's at least three principles that are applicable to us. They're definitely applicable to me. I suspect they're applicable to you as an individual. The first one comes in verse 6 and 7. And he answered and said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And who are you, O great mountains? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Okay, you have to sit there and think about that. How does that apply to you and I? It jumps out at me. It is a reminder that when God's in something, he accomplishes really big things. And he can use really small people and accomplish really big things. And that is encouraging to me. I recognize how frail I am. I recognize how fragile our work is. But I recognize also how great and powerful our God is. He is saying, tell Zerubbabel, don't worry about it. I understand that from a human standpoint, it looks impossible to get this temple built. Do not fret about that, because it isn't in the power. You know, there's some interesting characteristics. When you look at the word power and might, those two words, as you do a word study on them, end up grounding in two different things. The first one on might is connected with military force, military might. The power is talking about human strength. And he's saying it's not by your military, it's not by your human effort, it's by the power of God. I cannot tell you how often I remind myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And every one of us ought to be encouraged when we see this and mark it down, saying, you know what? That applies to me. My God has said he's going to be right there with me. I memorized a verse fairly recently, Psalms 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we, talking about corporately now, that was a plural in the original language also, it's plural. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In other words, you can look around and say, do I have the financial resources? Do I have the physical strength? Do I have the police behind me? Do I have this? Do I have that? All of these being tangible, worldly things. And they are not the critical issue. The critical issue is that we need to identify with our Lord and Savior. Connect with Jesus, and it's in His power. We can accomplish whatever He has for us to do, even when it looks daunting. The second point is in the verses immediately following that. So he's saying that he has the power of God, and here's what he said. Do you understand point seven? I didn't really make much of verse seven. Who are you, O great mountains? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Obstacles can look... I wish I had a quarter on me. I said this as an illustration before. But if you take a quarter and hold it up to your eye and you look up at the sun, you can hold the quarter close enough to you that you can't even see the sun. Now, is that quarter anywhere close to the size of the sun? No, it is not even a percentage from our standpoint. It's so insignificant. And yet, we take our problems and deal with them as if they're a quarter right before our eyes, and we can't see around us, so we can't see the greatness of our God. We got to get our eyes off of focusing on the problem and get our eyes up unto the Lord. Remembering His promises and His power and His strength and His character. And we can face, He'll level the playing field. In other words, it looks like it's too big to get over. God is saying it's in His power, He will level the playing field. Well, isn't that a blessing? I think of individuals that have gone into some very serious situations in regards to the legal process, and it looks like there's no hope. Looks like this is doomsday for sure. When in fact, God can go before it, and you get to the other side, and you look back and you say, that can only be the Lord that changed those circumstances. Because I'm on the other side looking back, and it's level. I don't know what I was fretting about. It's the very reason why he says, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make your requests be known unto God. And then you'll have the peace from God. It is because we look properly at these situations, He is promising to go with us. And in His strength, we can accomplish His things. God wants you to finish what you start. But He also wants you to do something bigger than you are. God wants you and I to accomplish great things for Him. Because He has great things to be done, and He uses ordinary, average people to do it. Who was David before he slew the Goliath? He was a shepherd. A shepherd in that culture was the lowest. Where did he end up? The king. And you go on and on. Who is Rahab? She is for all eternity now recorded in the Word of God as in the lineage of Jesus Christ. From whence does she come? She was a harlot. The culture of her day would have written her off as trash, worth nothing, of no value. But God had another plan. And she was mightily used, and so can we. No matter where we're coming from, if we'll just go His way and do it His way. Now, the second point I already said was this, that God wants to finish what wants you to finish what you start. This was an encouragement to me. Here we are at many years, or more than a decade now, at trying to establish Family Baptist Church here in the neighborhood. And you know what? We look almost as fragile today as we did when we started. But we're still here. Many, many, many works, many, many churches have stopped to exist in that same period of time. And we're still here in an environment that isn't conducive to building a solid work. That's what I am told all the time. You know, you need to get mission support. There is some truth to the problem that there are some challenges here. But there is nothing that is bigger than my God. Our God is bigger than these challenges. And if He wants us here, we're here. And I am absolutely convinced He wants us here, so I'm at peace. God wants us to finish what we start. Look at what He says in verse 8 and 9. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. He is saying, you get to Zerubbabel. Listen, Mr. Prophet, you get over and you get a hold of that man. And you make sure he understands that God has spoken to you and told you that he, the very one that started this, is not to quit. He is the one that God has chosen not only to start it, but to finish it. You see the message here? I read this and my heart gets stirred. That we are in a battle that we can finish. We can fight this. We can do this. We need to keep going. There's no giving up is not acceptable. Isaiah 40, one of my favorite verses. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, when I was younger, I didn't really like reading that. But now I look at it, and it's a real encouragement to me. The older I get, it's a tremendous encouragement. Jerry, you must really look at this thing and say, yes! The young men they can crumble. And I may not feel as physically strong as I once was, and I don't. I suspect you don't either. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, but the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew our strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Are those not victorious words? That was another way that Isaiah stated the same thing that the angel told Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel. You started it, you can finish this. You may think you can't, but you can. Now get about it. And we got to be reminded of that same truth. God wants us to finish what we start. He doesn't want us to be quitters. Even if we get knocked down several times, we've got to be those that get back up and keep going. The last point, verse 10. God wants you to start where you are with what you have. In verse 10, for who has despised the day of small things? There are all sorts of people saying, you know, this isn't going to be great anyway, so why are you wasting your time? That's basically the message that Zerubbabel and the others that were working on this temple were getting all the time. In some respects, you may be hearing that about your own walk with the Lord. Don't listen to it. If you really know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And we need to keep going. We need to start where we are and with what we have and go forward for the rest of the days. Even if we've been knocked off our feet, we got to get up and keep charging. For who has despised the day of the small things? For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. What seven are they? They are the eyes of the Lord. What he was saying is that God himself is thrilled, Zerubbabel, for you to get back to the work of building the temple. Just start with what you, just keep going. Grab it right where you're at and keep going and finish the task. God is pleased. You may not have the physical strength, you may not even have the time nor the financial resources that you once had, but take what you have and expend it doing what God would have you to do. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Well, that's a good advice. It goes on to say, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You know what he is saying? Solomon was saying, this is the time to be about it. If you've got breath, if you've got physical strength, use it for his glory. Don't be waiting, because time will run out for your opportunity. Martin Luther King Jr. made this statement. It's really a powerful statement. You don't have to see the whole staircase now. Just take the first step in faith. Don't be afraid of a small beginning. Isn't that the truth? How do we get from here to where we want to be? One step at a time. We need to, in the power of the Lord, determine what direction he would have us to go, and we need to be about going there. God wants you to do something bigger than yourself, or else you'd get the credit. God wants you to finish what you start, and God wants you to start where you are with what you have for his glory. And I pray that you'll leave tonight with that as your heart. As we go about the week to serve our Lord to the very, very best we can. This is not for the other person. This is for us. With all of our problems, with all of our shortcomings, and in some cases even with capabilities we have lost, we don't, you know, this physical thing is really a wonderful thing to reflect on. Even if we don't have the strength we had before, use the strength that God has given you for his glory. We're going to close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a closing psalm. It's going to be 718, Day by Day. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this blessed opportunity to look at this wonderful passage that has so much in it that gets so distracting to one's mind. It's hard to wrap our eyes around. We want to understand all of this beautiful pictures, word pictures, but we don't have the ability to do so. But Lord, you have left such powerful truths that are so crystal clear. I pray that we will take the crystal clear part and go forward for your glory. Be the men and the women you want us to be, Father. Let us not be weary in doing good. And Father, may we just go forward with all of our might, and that you would get the glory for all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.